Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 11th day of February 2020. It's a Tuesday. Valentine's Day, your friendly reminder, Valentine's Day is Friday, which makes it doubly screwed if you're going to try and make reservations. I tried to make reservations for Friday, even at 5 o'clock, and it just wasn't doing. So we're going to lunch, a Valentine's family lunch. So if you haven't gotten your Valentine's Day, I mean, I could have gone to someplace crappy, but it's Valentine's Day. Going to Fogo de Chao, going to eat a lot of beef. If you want to get out there, get a reservation, you better get off your butt, boys. Because you know this horribly misogynistic society, the patriarchy, requires that you make the reservations. So make it so. Get it done if you can. Anyway, I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to the Daily Daily Caller podcast. We've got an action-packed program for you today as we anxiously await the results tomorrow of the New Hampshire primary. I'm going to go out on a limb here and predict that Democrats in New Hampshire will be able to count ballots much easier than Democrats in Ohio were able to count physical human beings. It's a 50-50 proposition, but I'm going to go with their ability to count, mostly because I suspect it will be machine-aided. So we shall see. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we have a bunch of madness leading up to that as the candidates crisscross the Granite State and try to convince liberal Democrats that they are the either least crazy or least sane. I don't know. Given what some of these people are saying, it's a crapshoot as to what they think is going to appeal to Democratic voters. There's that Cynthia Nixon woman, the actress, the former, I guess you got to call her a former actress, because I think you have to be acting. I think you have to act. I think you have to be working in order to be considered an actress. And Cynthia Nixon just doesn't seem to be doing that anymore, probably because she sucks. That would be my guess. We've got lunacy in the liberal media, and Michael Bloomberg is now getting a taste of his past. He defended stop and frisk and said some things that, while rational people who are interested in and understand statistics would look at this and listen to it and go, well, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate but true, that true part does not fly in the Democratic Party. If you say something that's true but inconvenient, it doesn't matter how true it is. You are opening yourself up to destruction, and maybe billions of dollars can combat that. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. We'll get to all of that, or as much of that as we possibly can, coming up on the program. I'm not sure if this show is going to be a full hour show just because I need to get some sleep, because I'll be up late tomorrow because of the primary, because I won't be able to record until the end of the program. So I don't know, my mouth always gets the better of me and we end up doing a full show anyway. But first, before we start the full show, we got a hat tip to our sponsors. Lovely, love these guys. ancientlifeoil.com. CBD oil is all the rage. You see it everywhere. People are talking about it. People, you know, I guarantee you, even though they might not be wearing it on their sleeve, I guarantee you they're using it. Talk to your friends, talk to your family about CBD oil. Do some research and see what all the rage is about. And then when you decide to give it a shot yourself, go to ancientlifeoil.com for the best and purest organic, 100% organic CBD oil. It's not going to get you high. It's not loaded up with THC. If that's what you're into, you're just going to have to go to a state where it's legal. CBD oil helps you with the aches and pains and the stress and the tension that you build up in the day. It helps you sleep. It helps you rest. It helps you stay calm. It really is a bit of a miracle, in my opinion. I put a few drops of it under my tongue every single day. I just, in fact, today in the mail, got my shipment of Ancient Life Oil and my my Life Change tea. I love when that stuff, get that envelope, it's like, oh, right, I'm restocked and reloaded. Go to ancientlifeoil.com. You check out the flavor, you check out all the products they have there. You load up your cart with whatever you want to give it a try, and you enter promo code Derek at checkout, and you get special discounts. You can't beat this deal. And what have you got to lose aside from some aches and pains? Honestly, it's and the stress in your life. And the for me, it's the eye strain at the end of the day, staring at a damn computer screen all day. And not so much chasing the kids around, but, you know, it helps relieve the stress of that, too. AncientLifeOil.com. But do your own research. See what people are saying. See what the benefits are. And then when you decide to give it a shot, when you decide these people aren't crazy, go to AncientLifeOil.com for the best CBD oil you can find. Okay. Don't forget to enter promo code Derek at checkout. That lets them know that you heard about it here, and it gets you special discounts. So you can't beat it. It's a double whammy. And I appreciate the help of you guys, and I appreciate the support of them. Okay, so today is the day. It is the big whammy, the first vote where we actually stand a chance in the Democratic primary of getting a result in somewhat real time. We still don't actually know for certain who won Iowa, but it's kind of amazing to me that everybody's just kind of going, eh, whatever. And they've just moved on from, they stopped caring about Iowa. You don't want, the Democratic media doesn't want to report it because it makes Democrats look really, really bad. And it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It only matters in that somebody could have gotten momentum in a week's worth of fundraising out of it. Pete Buttigieg claimed victory at the time, so there was nothing to refute him. And you end up with a situation where he's the winner, but he's not the winner. He got fewer votes than Bernie, but he got as many delegates as Bernie because of their convoluted system. In New Hampshire, it's much simpler. It's much easier to figure out, and we'll know who actually got the most votes and most delegates by the end of the night. Now, knock on wood, because if there's a will, there's a way. And Democrats have always excelled at finding new and creative ways to screw up something basic and simple. But looking at the polling data as is available today, and since today's really the last day of polling, we can maybe get a flavor of what's going to happen. It looks like my $50 bet on predictit.com is not going to pay off. I bet $50 that he would win, that Buttigieg would win. I thought, oh, maybe he'll carry some momentum in. The polling earlier in the week was looking good for Mayor Pete. And I thought, oh, maybe. And besides, it was like paying 2-1. So if I, or 3-1, I put $50 up, I win $150. Really, I win $100, but that's beside the point. Now the latest polling data is Bernie Sanders is going to win. He's got a commanding 8-point lead over Mayor Pete. What's shocking is who New Hampshire could really get. It's not, look, it's either going to be Bernie or it's going to be Pete winning in New Hampshire. Spoiler alert. Although before you spoil something, you should probably say spoiler alert rather than blurting out what you're spoiling and then say spoiler alert. But you get the idea. If you're sitting there going, oh man, you ruined it for me about the New Hampshire primary, might I suggest you take up crocheting or some other thing to, because you need a hobby. But it's all the data points to it's going to be Mayor Pete or Bernie Sanders. It's likely going to be Bernie Sanders. He's from neighboring Vermont. He won it in a landslide against Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton Jr. III back in 2016. The Granite State, the live free or die state, when given the choice, at least on the Democratic side, always chooses die. They don't like the concept of living free. So the what is it? The Babylon Bee had a great headline for a story. I love the Babylon Bee. They had Bernie Sanders is confused by New Hampshire's state motto, live free or die, says both seem like horrible options, which is very, very funny because it's true. But Bernie Sanders is at 27%, according to the latest and the final Boston Globe poll. Then you got Mayor Pete at 19%. What's really surprising is Elizabeth Warren from neighboring Massachusetts is not in third place. She is in fourth place behind, not Biden, Amy Klobuchar. She's actually tied. Warren is actually tied with Joe Biden, both of them at 12%, well, with Amy Klobuchar at 14%. Now, that's within the margin of error, so it doesn't really matter all that much. It could go either way on that one, but that there are polls showing Elizabeth Warren slipping back to fourth place. I think this is do or die. I think New Hampshire is do or die for Elizabeth Warren. She might, if she finishes fourth, she, for all practical purposes, is done. But she might stick around for a little bit longer. Depending on how much money she still has in her war chest, she might stick it out another week for Nevada. But it's unlikely. It's certainly unlikely that she would survive beyond Nevada. But she might, just because she wants to. She won't give up. Look, I don't begrudge her or anybody staying in the race past their expiration date. It's tough. You work for a very long time to try and win a party's nomination for president, unless you're Michael Bloomberg, and then you just show up and say, I have piles of money. Vote for me. And people will. But it's tough to kind of recognize and let go and say, you know what? It's just not happening for me. It's just not there for me. Especially if you still have some money in there, you think, well, maybe the next state. The problem is when the money dries up. And that's why all the previous candidates dropped out, is the money dried up. The polling drove the money drove the ability to affect the polling, and so on and so forth, and it becomes this cycle unto itself. If Elizabeth Warren were smart, she would have plowed most of her money into New Hampshire. And if she did, it didn't pay off. But that would mean that she has very little money left to stick around. And it's a tough case to make to donors, to people out there saying, yes, I have been humiliated in two states, coming in third in one and third or fourth or worse in my neighboring state. But just keep giving me money. It'll pay off in the end. Donations to political campaigns are not tax deductible. So these are people reaching into their pockets for no financial benefit of themselves to keep a vanity project alive if you don't start showing some promise. And Elizabeth Warren coming in behind Amy Klobuchar, if that ends up happening in the New Hampshire primary, is definitely not showing any promise. So it'll really depend on how much cash she has on hand. And if she has a lot of cash on hand, which I doubt, but if she does, then that shows a fundamental misunderstanding of how campaigns for president work. And she should not. You don't want to go into pit row to get gas with more fuel in your tank than you need. You want to burn everything you have to win where you need to win. You don't want to end your presidential run in the general election with, wow, we still have $40 million in the bank. No, ideally, you'd have nothing in the bank. Most of the campaigns actually have massive debts, but that's beside the point. So tomorrow could be the last hurrah for Elizabeth Warren, whether she announces it. Look, this is a long shot. If she announces it that night, if she comes in fourth or fifth, even if she comes behind Biden, it's definitely over. So we shall see. It will be fun to watch, and we'll cover it all. I'm looking at that $50 bet. It still seems like a smart bet to make, a good chance to take. And there's a possibility that Mayor Pete pulls it out. You never know. Bernie Sanders is out being crazy. Maybe something will sink in with people. There's also the possibility that voters for like Yang and Gabbard and Steyer will go, because Yang has 3%, Gabbard has 3%, Steyer has 2%. Maybe they'll recognize, look, I don't want to vote for a socialist Bernie Sanders. My candidate doesn't stand a chance in hell, so I'm going to vote for the person who has the best chance of beating the socialist, and that would be Mayor Pete. And then Daddy would be in the money. That's right. Bring it on home. That doesn't seem likely. yet it's a possibility. Like I said, we'll know in 24 hours. And the last 24 hours, as the candidates ran out on the campaign trail and were running around everywhere, they started saying some crazy, crazy things. Let's start off with the leader. Let's start off with Bernie Sanders. He was interviewed at a progressive event featuring Stephanie Ruhle. It was hosted by Stephanie Ruhle, the dumbest person in cable news. And she asked everybody about abortion. It was some women's event. And the left is just obsessed with abortion. I don't understand how they get so excited about abortion. Talking about abortion gets them aroused, which then requires them to need an abortion a lot of times. But Bernie Sanders was asked about the prospect of there being a pro-life Democrat. Is there room in the Democratic Party for a pro-life Democrat? Now, remember when I was talking last week after the acquittal in the Senate about the purity test that Republicans who want to purge Mitt Romney from the party are trying to impose, and how that was a mistake. Don't become like Democrats. This is what I meant. Listen to Bernie Sanders' answer about whether or not there is room in the party for a pro-life Democrat.
Then is there such a thing as a pro-life Democrat in your vision of the party?
I think being pro-choice is an absolutely essential part of being a Democrat. If you're asking me, and I think I may be wrong on this, I think in the Senate, probably 95% of the Democrats are pro-choice. You have a few who are not. In the House, maybe even a higher percentage. So that's kind of what my view is. I think by this time in history, I think when we talk about what a Democrat is, I think being pro-choice is essentially an essential part of that.
In other words, a purity test for Democrats on abortion. You're either with them or you are their enemy, and you're not welcome in their party. That's what we need to point out to the American people on all the issues. It's not just abortion. It's really every issue. You're either for socialized medicine or you're their enemy. You're for free college for everyone or you're their enemy. You're for student loan abdication of responsibility or you're their enemy. That's why Republicans shouldn't become like Democrats when it comes to Mitt Romney. It's better to just ignore Mitt. Just go, whatever. I don't care what Mitt does. He'll be with you 80% of the time. The rest of the time, ignore him. It helps the Republicans build the narrative that liberals are absolutists when it comes to purity. Plus, it doesn't give Mitt what he wants, which is attention. That's the way I see it. Also on the Bernie front, he had that actress Cynthia Nixon running around with him up in New Hampshire. I don't know what apologized to the people of New Hampshire. I don't know what you did to deserve this, but you had Cynthia Nixon running around and she gave an opening speech at a Bernie rally, and she's a big lib. She ran for mayor of New York. She ran to try and get the Democratic nomination. It didn't work out. Wasn't even close, but she's a full-blown communist. She's way out there. Communists are just calling themselves socialists now to try and make it more socially acceptable. Sadly, socialist has lost the stigma it used to have. Communist still has the aura of stink around it, although the left is doing all they can to remove it by embracing communist dictators around the world who call themselves socialist. See what Bernie says about the dictator down in Venezuela, for example, or what he said about the Castros, and then look at what he said about the Soviet Union. Anyway, that's for another day. Cynthia Nixon was giving a speech on the campaign trail for Brother Bernie, and in her introduction, she essentially comes out and She gives an introduction in a speech that is dangerous and ignorant and really anti-American. As I play this for you, keep in mind that according to the websites that track celebrities' net worths, somehow Cynthia Nixon, without talent or ability or looks, managed to amass a net worth of $25 million. That in and of itself should be a testament to the greatness of capitalism, that somebody with no talent or ability could become that wealthy in this country should tell everybody, think what you could do with half a brain and some elbow grease. But the left always want, they're special to the left. You know, like I said the other day, everybody who bitches about income inequality and how the system is rigged has somehow managed to navigate inside that system and make themselves fabulously successful and wealthy. And they think, well, it's just because I'm special and everybody else is an idiot. And they might have that reversed, and we reward idiots in this society, apparently. But listen to Cynthia Nixon talk about this country and what Bernie Sanders wants to do. And tell me if you wouldn't have heard this from a balcony in Berlin or a balcony in Moscow or a balcony in Beijing.
And I have to tell you that because of Bernie Sanders and because of what he has spent his life doing and how he has changed this country in the last 4 years, he has taught me and he has taught us as a country what we can ask for. We have made do with crumbs for so long. And Bernie has said, hey, we're starving in this country. We can't subsist on these crumbs anymore. Why can't we demand the whole pie? And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're going to get when Bernie Sanders is our next president.
First of all, it's horrifying that she would and the crowd would cheer the concept of Bernie Sanders telling us what we could ask for, meaning what we can ask for from our government. Anybody who applauds that is a loser and has failed at life. Secondly, we've been subsisting on crumbs. We're starving in this country. Where has she been? First of all, if you mean that literally, we're the most obese country on the planet Earth. So we're the only country where our poor are fat. So explain that one, Cynthia Nixon. Second, if you're speaking metaphorically, this country is not supposed to provide you with the things you need to get by. You're supposed to do that. You have that responsibility as an individual in this country. And one of the greatest things I've ever heard anybody say in describing this country and talking to people, he was talking about family members, saying pretty much this very same thing, was the actor Terry Crews talking to Adam Carolla probably 3 or 4 years ago by now. He was talking about his relatives and how they were, you know, looking to government to solve their problems, and it was unfair, and they want their share, and they want their piece of the pie, and they wanted the government to give them their piece of the pie. And Terry said, he told them that America is a kitchen. You make your own pie. Everybody has the opportunity to make their own pie, whether it's a small little tart or whether it's a giant pie that you can swim in. That's what makes this country great. What's ironic is you've got a moron like Cynthia Nixon up there who has a really big pie, $25 million in net worth, bitching about how we're just struggling to get by. We can't get by. Now, Cynthia Nixon will tell you, I guarantee it, because I've dealt with socialists like this, communists like this. They say, well, I'm doing okay, but other people can't make it. Well, if you have 25 million bucks, how many people could you help out with that? How many millions of dollars do you need, comrade? Theoretically, couldn't you get by on $1 million, perhaps? But no, she lives in New York, New York City. It's expensive to live in New York City. And, you know, she's not going to go to McDonald's for lunch. Hell no. She's got to go to nice places. So she needs her $25 million. She could theoretically make 24 other millionaires. She could spread that around, give $100,000 to a whole bunch of people. But she won't do it. Liberals never live the way they want to force others to live unless and until they're able to force others to live that way, and then only maybe. It's that simple. The hypocrisy runs deep. Bernie Sanders owns 3 homes. How many could he possibly live in at one single time? Why does he need a vacation home, a home in Vermont, and a home in Washington, D.C.? Why does he need those things? Why does he need so many homes? Does he allow homeless people to live in those homes when he's not there? Why wouldn't he share with them? Is he a monster? Why is he so selfish? Cynthia Nixon, you live in New York City. New York City has a homeless problem. How many people are you feeding on a daily basis, on an hourly basis? Why are you taking time out of your helping the homeless party to run up to Vermont to tell other people to embrace communism? And how did you get to Vermont? Did you drive? Did you fly? How did you get there? How are you offsetting the CO2 that you put into the atmosphere to go up there and try and convince people to embrace communism? America is a kitchen. Make your own damn pie. Don't sit around. If you sit around scrounging for crumbs from other people, that's your choice. That's your life. That's your bed. You made it. Now lie in it. If you decide to take another risk, try another path, or maybe that's enough. Maybe you just want a job and be left the hell alone. Then the Democratic Party has no interest in you. In fact, you are their enemy. You are their target. You are their, who they are coming after. Because for all their bitching about Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and all their billions, those guys are not raking in the income every year. You see the stories. You say, well, Jeff Bezos earned $10 billion yesterday because Amazon stock went up. Yes, it's not in cash. It's an Amazon stock. Jeff Bezos's net worth is his Amazon stock. He doesn't have a giant room filled with gold that he runs into like Scrooge McDuck and swims around in every once in a while, laughing maniacally at the poor. Same with Mark Zuckerberg. They pay themselves, I bet you they pay themselves like a dollar a year. The rest of it is their net worth. So their income on paper is next to nothing. If you want to find a way to change that, maybe we can talk about that. But to sit there and give people the impression that they're going to raise income taxes on the rich and that will get Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and Warren Buffett and all these rich guys to pay more money, you're being lied to. You're being misled. These are their donors. These are the people who keep them in power. They're not going to really go after these people. That's not what liberalism is about. It's about controlling the great unwashed, the middle class. Yeah, somebody making $250,000, $500,000, $1 million a year, their income taxes will go up because they're actually getting that in income. Pro athletes, you're getting screwed. Your taxes are going to go through the roof. Your bosses, the team owners, they're not going to get screwed at all. They have accountants. They have a way to get through. They have a tax code that was written in a convoluted way that they are able to exploit. It was written in a convoluted way with them in mind to protect them as well. So all of these people you need to deserve, you deserve to get yours. You deserve this. You deserve that. You deserve nothing. You deserve absolutely nothing except what you earn. Go out there and earn it. If you don't like that your neighbor has something that you want that you can't afford, here's an idea. Save for it. Work harder. Get a second job. Sell some of the crap you currently have that you don't need. Don't look to government to come in and even it out and make it fair. It's not fair when government comes in and takes from somebody else and gives to you. There's nothing fair about that. So, yeah, this is what Bernie Sanders is introducing. Look to the government. He showed us what we can ask government for, and that's wonderful. She's preaching government dependence on the campaign trail, and there's an audience of lemmings applauding it, cheering for it. Yes, thank you, sir. May I have another? Please absolve me from personal responsibility. Punish the successful to reward the unsuccessful, or worse, the unwilling to try to succeed. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is a cancer. It needs to be defeated resoundingly. Resoundingly. Well, that was Bernie's day, the last day. It's sad. He's probably going to win New Hampshire with this message. Live free or die, New Hampshire chooses die. at least the New Hampshire Democrats did. And in the last election, they chose die, too. I think we should probably sue them to try and get them to change their state motto. That's not right. They would have that as their state motto and vote for the crap that they vote for. Not to be outdone, Joe Biden was, again, there isn't a sane person on the Democratic side. Nobody's even trying to pretend that they're sane on the Democratic side. So Joe Biden is out there in the campaign trail, and he's calling for everything that Bernie and Elizabeth and Pete are calling for, which, again, really means there's no reason to vote for Biden if you can get everything he's promising in another candidate who isn't older than dirt or senile. Then why not? Well, Joe Biden wants to, shocking development. Joe Biden wants to ban something. Joe Biden wants to do away with something that is wildly important to human advancement, to continued human advancement, to everything you do in life, essentially. Joe Biden wants to ban it. Now, what is it that I'm talking about? Well, let's let Joe tell you what Joe wants to ban now.
The single most important thing we have to do is deal with the thing called climate change. It's the single most important issue facing the United States of America. But maybe I can talk to you a little bit after this, okay? If you have a second. I don't want to have you wait around too long, but I'll be happy to talk with you more about all of this if you like. But we should eliminate the use and transition away from the use of plastics.
Eliminate plastics. Joe Biden isn't the first Democrat to call for the elimination of plastics. They've all pretty much called for, especially the leaders have called for the elimination of plastics. People seem to think if you buy into the cult that is climate change, that plastics are ruining the planet Earth. I'm sure soon they'll be calling for the banning of the movie The Graduate. If you don't get that joke, don't watch the movie. It's a boring movie. I heard so much about, the Graduate's a great, hilarious comedy. And then I watched it because people wouldn't shut up about it. And I thought, this sucks. This is boring. But plastics. Think about how much plastic you have in your life. Think about how much plastic has reduced the cost of things. Think about how much plastic has improved and increased the availability of things, not to mention all the plastic that is used in medical procedures and testings and equipment. You want to get rid of plastics? Really, Joe? This is your closing argument on the eve of the New Hampshire primary? We need to transition away from plastics. That it's more likely that somebody could actually transition to a different gender than this country could transition away from the use of plastics in a way that doesn't absolutely decimate the economy, the world's economy. The problem with plastic, and again, the left seems to live in this fantasy world where Americans, non-woke Americans, I should say, we great unwashed who are the problems and are in desperate need of re-education, that we go to a McDonald's and we get a big old Coke with our straw and we use our straw. And the second we're done with our straw, we gather that up with all of our grocery bags and run to the nearest body of water, preferably the ocean, and just throw it in there willy-nilly. It's a compulsion, really. We just go absolutely crazy and say, here, ocean, eat my plastic. That's not what happens on this planet. Asia, large swaths of Asia do dump garbage into the ocean, and large amounts, ungodly amounts of plastic from Asia. The vast majority, over 90% of the plastic in the ocean is not from the rest, it's from Asia. It's not anywhere else. It's Asia that is the problem. But we have to pay the price. It's much like the lunatic who does something evil with a gun, and every law-abiding gun owner has to be punished. We have to have our rights stripped because somebody did something awful. Well, in Asia, they're doing something awful. So they find a turtle with something in its belly, and they say, well, that's it. We've got to ban this because you people clearly can't handle this existing. No. How about we go after the idiots who are polluting? You know, what about that idea? How about we punish? Here's a novel idea. This is a crazy idea. Hear me out, Democrats. How about we develop a system where we punish the guilty and leave the not guilty, the innocent, if you will, the hell alone? Wouldn't that be a novel concept in this country, on this planet in the year 2020? What a crazy idea. I think there might be a constituency for something like that. I don't know who, but certainly not Democratic Party primary voters, apparently. We're going to ban plaid. We need to transition away from plaid. That'll solve all the problems. Good job, Uncle Joe. Well, that's some mighty fine thinking you got going on up there in that noggin of yours, Joe. Congratulations. Let's get rid of all plastics. As if to, you know, Michael Bloomberg he's running for president as a Democrat, but he's not participating in the primaries yet. He's waiting until the end of the month on Super Tuesday because he's got more money than God and he's willing to spend billions of dollars on his vanity project. He, by the way, he won the Dixville Notch primary last night. Dixville Notch is a tiny town in New Hampshire that always votes right at midnight. And they always say, we have 100% voter turnout at our primaries. And they do the same thing in the general election. They have five people who voted. Five people. And it took them actually a good 10 minutes to cast their votes and count them. And you see why Democrats can't get a number out of Iowa. Mike Bloomberg spent like $400 million to win Dixville Notch. Not really, but he's spent hundreds of millions. He spent more than every other campaign, including the president's campaign, combined so far. And it's paid off. Never let it be said that spending a ton of your personal wealth doesn't pay off in the end when running for president. The results from Dixville Notch were Michael Bloomberg won the Republican primary. There was only one voter. And they wrote in Mike Bloomberg in the Republican primary. I suspect somebody slipped these people money. And in the Democratic primary, Mayor Pete and Bernie both got one vote, and Mike Bloomberg had two write-in votes. So out of Dixville Notch, five people, Mike Bloomberg got three of the votes. And all it cost him was $500 million. So congratulations, Mayor Bloomberg. On another Bloomberg story, as he becomes a bigger threat to somebody like Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders' army of flying monkeys is out there combing through the literal treasure trove of Mike Bloomberg's past comments. When he was mayor of New York, he continued the policy of stop and frisk, which was where the police could stop you and frisk you on the street if they didn't like the cut of your jib to try and cut down weapons. They did it mostly in public places where crime was pretty high, and they took a lot of guns off the street. They actually helped lower crime, but the left hates this because everything is racist. They said it targeted African Americans. Michael Bloomberg, at the Aspen Institute a few years ago and giving a speech, it sounds like it was surreptitiously recorded. You can make it out, but it's slightly muffled. Michael Bloomberg defended stop and frisk by citing statistics, citing some inconvenient truths. Now, if we're just dealing with the issue of crime and we're going to do so honestly, what Michael Bloomberg, what you hear him say is true. It's true. The numbers bear it out. The facts bear it out. That has no bearing on the Democratic Party any longer. Facts, truth, data, statistics, anything. It doesn't matter. Michael Bloomberg, by the way, has already apologized in the past for supporting stop and frisk. He says, I didn't realize how damaging it was, blah, 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 blah. He's kissing ass and doing part of his apology tour, his mea culpa for the for continuing stop and frisk, which was wildly successful in New York. Well, in private, when he thought nobody was listening, when he was still mayor of New York City, he talked about stop and frisk, and he said, like I said, some inconvenient truths backed up by the data. That is this, and things like this, there's going to be a lot more coming out about Michael Bloomberg. I guarantee it. Here's Michael Bloomberg. This stuff doesn't fly in the Democratic Party anymore. What stuff? Listen to Mike Bloomberg.
95% of your murders and murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. That's true in New York, it's true in virtually every city. And that's where the real crime is. You've got to get the guns out of the hands of the people that get killed. So you want to spend the money, put a lot of cops in the street, put those cops where the crime is, which means in minority neighborhoods. So this is one of the unintended consequences is people say, oh my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana that are all minorities. Yes, that's true. Why? Because we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them up against the wall and frisk them. And then they say, oh, I don't want to get caught, so they don't bring the gun. They may still have a gun, but they leave it at home.
Ooh, this is going to cause him a lot of trouble in Democratic primary. Yes, it is true that the vast majority of crimes in this country are committed by men who are 19 to 25 years of age, and a disproportionate share of those perpetrators are, as Democrats like to say, people of color, men of color. And if you look at high crime concentrated areas, you would look for those particular characteristics if you wanted to crack down on crime. Those are all statistically true and unequivocally true. But you're not allowed to admit the truth in the Democratic Party anymore. Now, this isn't Michael Bloomberg now, and if it ever rises up, depending on how much money he has to spend to try and keep this sort of thing from reaching a wide audience, he'll try to defend this. He'll likely apologize for having said it. He won't just come out and say, well, you know what? It's true. I shouldn't have done it still. He already apologized for stop and frisk, but it's unequivocally true. He can't do that. He won't do that, but he should do that. He'd actually get a lot of people's respect, but he's running as a Democrat, and running as a Democrat means that you can't admit these sorts of things. And the left hates stop and frisk. The left hates law enforcement. The left hates anything related to law and order. So you have this sort of situation where Bloomberg, from his past, and this was just a few years ago, this stuff used to fly. Facts used to fly in both parties to one degree or another. Now they don't. They're grounded in the Democratic Party. So there's going to be hell to pay for Bloomberg, and all of his billions probably won't be able to buy him out of it. He might be able to pretzel apologize his way out of it, but he won't be able to buy his way out of it because the left-wing mob doesn't care. They are looking for scalps. They are constantly on the hunt for scalps, and that's all they really care about. And if they can get the scalp, they hate billionaires. They're not particularly fond of white people. And if they could get, a white scalp of a billionaire, boy, howdy, they'll be more than ecstatic to slam that one up on their wall. In today's The Media is God-Awful Terrible News, does the name Brian Karam mean anything to you? It probably doesn't. He's a really douchey reporter, White House correspondent for Playboy magazine. And nobody even, it used to be, I read Playboy for the articles. That's why, not about the pictures. Now we don't even do that. You got the internet. Nobody reads Playboy at all. That's why they're going broke. But they still, for some reason, have this douchebag going to the White House every day. And he's standing out there in the press gaggle as the president prepares to go off to New Hampshire for his rally last night. And it's about a 50-50 proposition as to whether or not the president comes over to the press and takes questions or not. Yesterday, it just happened to be raining in Washington, D.C., so the president decided to go out to the helicopter and just leave rather than stand in the rain and take questions from a bunch of assholes who hate him, try to lie about him. Well, this doesn't stop that gaggle of douchebags from yelling out questions to the president as he walks away. He's about 50 yards away, so he probably can't hear them. Plus, you got the whirl of the helicopter. He definitely can't hear them. Brian Karam is filming this on his phone because, well, if you don't post something on the internet, did it really happen? The guy's like in his 50s or whatever, and you would think that he would be above such things. But him getting into arguments with the press secretary got him a contract with CNN. Yes, Brian Karam, in addition to being the White House correspondent for Playboy magazine, is also a CNN contributor. And so when you make a lot of money, probably a six-figure side income, for being a douchebag in public, you find yourself being a douchebag in public an awful lot. And Brian Karam probably thought that this would get him booked on CNN. You know, hey, come on, maybe his contract's coming up soon, and he's trying to earn his keep over at the Jeff Zucker-controlled network. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, this would have embarrassed any other reporters would have posted this going, what is this guy doing? He's an embarrassment to the profession. Now the person himself is posting this video where he yells out a question to the president. The president clearly can't hear him. The president isn't going to hear him. So Brian Karam is yelling this question only for the sake of his video recording, which means he thinks that this makes him look good. And with a certain slice of the population, it does. That slice is incredibly dumb and democratic, but, you know, you got to know on which side of the toast your bread is buttered. So listen to Brian Karam screaming, yelling, shouting at the president of the United States. And you have an opportunity here to yell one question to the president. Now, odds are he's not going to hear it. But sometimes as the president's walking, he'll hear a question and go, oh, I'll go over and address that and I'll engage. And sometimes he doesn't. So you're trying to bait the hook here. Keep that in mind. What pressing issue, what deep-rooted policy issue of national importance does Playboy magazine and CNN's Brian Karam want to bring to the attention of his audience? Something on economics? Something on national security? No. It's whether or not Trump support is a cult.
Come on over! Mr. President, what do you say to your GOP critics who say that you lead a cult?
Needless to say, the president was not moved by such a deep and thoughtful line of questioning from the reporter over there screaming at the top of his lungs to get his attention. He did not go over. Do you imagine? Now, why would you're sitting there and you think, well, why would he yell that? Yeah, there are people like Bill Kristol who say that. But Bill Kristol isn't a Republican anymore. He's announced publicly that he's voting for any Democrat anywhere at any time. He's so in the tank for Democrats because he's mad about becoming irrelevant in life that he gave $1,000 to Governor Blackface's election campaign down there in Virginia where he lives. So you have this messed up, you have this situation where there's a very small slice of former Republicans who are spreading this, and yet it has been a topic of discussion any number of times, more than a dozen that I could count on CNN, whether or not Trump supporters are like a cult. Are they cult-like? Cult this, cult that, cult the other thing. It's a common theme on CNN. CNN pays Brian Karam. They're not paying him to do this. This is pandering to CNN by Brian Karam because he wants to get on TV more. Now that there isn't a daily White House briefing where he can showcase his douchebaggery, there isn't, his face hasn't graced CNN all that often. That's what makes me think that his contract is probably coming up pretty soon, and he would like that puppy renewed because, you know, I assume he has a couple of goldfish and lives alone in a one-bedroom studio apartment where he sits lonely crying himself to sleep at night. Getting on CNN can at least get him around other people and possibly win him some friends. So he's trying to pander not to an audience but to CNN. It didn't work, as far as I know. He might have gotten on CNN. Who the hell would know? But this is a common theme amongst the watchers, or the not the watchers, amongst the journalists, if you will. I'm looking for a better word, but I've overused douchebag already, on CNN. So this would have embarrassed a reporter just a few years ago. And now here's a reporter posting a video of himself screaming this and thinking, attention Pulitzer Prizes, here's my submission. Speaking of Pulitzer Prizes and people who should never even write the word Pulitzer Prize, let alone be nominated for one, which means that in all likelihood, she'll win one. She's probably already an award-winning journalist, but she is, she's just not a bright person. Katie Turr. Remember Katie Turr? She's mad that somebody dropped the D off of her last name at some point in her family's history. She doesn't speak to her father slash mother because her father slash mother is trans. Her father slash mother is somebody called Zoe Turr. Apparently does traffic reports or something out in California for a local TV station. And Katie Turr the other day was talking about the United States Senate. There's this idea going around on the left that somehow the Senate is all wrong and needs to be done away with or changed dramatically because the more populous states like California and New York, which have tens of millions of people, they only get two members of the United States Senate, whereas a state like Idaho or Montana, which barely has a million people, they also get two United States senators, and that's just not fair. Why should 45 million people in California be represented by two United States senators and 1 million people in Montana be represented by the same number of senators? That's just not right. It's just not fair. Well, this just secretes historical ignorance. The Senate was originally, we didn't elect senators until I think the 20s. Before, senators were elected to their terms by the state legislatures because the House of Representatives was supposed to represent the people and the United States Senate was supposed to represent the states. That's why you have equal representation in the United States Senate and proportional representation in the House of Representatives. The states are all equal regardless of geographic size or population. Now, we've changed that and really screwed up the Senate, but that's just my opinion. I did a show about that a year ago or something like that. But this is, the left can't wrap their minds around this. They can't accept that. They're looking to change anything they can't control, they want to destroy. And they're not controlling the United States Senate right now, so they want to destroy it. So Katie Turr cites a statistic that is constitutionally and practically irrelevant to impeachment. But because it has been floated around by people like Vox Media, V-O-X Media, and a bunch of other liberal columnists as pointing out how anti-democratic the United States Senate is, she repeats it here. Now, all of that I've said so far would be enough for historical ignorance and just general ignorance to mock Katie Turr. But being Katie Turr, she ups her game. She takes it up a notch and introduces the idea of perhaps gerrymandering as a way to correct the fact that the 48 senators who voted to acquit the president represent 12 million more Americans than the 52 who voted to acquit the president. She's then corrected by the guest on set, who does a much better job than I would have in politely telling her that she's a moron and doesn't understand how the United States Senate works, and there is no gerrymandering of state lines. But when you're as dumb as Katie Turr apparently is, you probably wouldn't have noticed it anyway. Listen to this.
In case you missed it, majority doesn't always rule in this country. 48 senators voted to remove the president from office. 52 voted to acquit. But the 48 actually represent 12 million more voters than the senators who decided to keep Donald Trump in the White House. So what's the resolution to that? Is gerrymandering something that would help improve the situation? How does that sort of divide promote consensus in the Senate or even in the House?
Well, I mean, they're the only resolution. Gerrymandering's not going to do anything because in the Senate, we're talking about states, right? Yeah. So you can't gerrymander states.
Can't we just gerrymander this to make it fair? How dumb do you have to be? How dumb do you have? And what's amazing is she's never embarrassed by any of this. She's never goes, oh, wow, sorry about that. I must have skipped those years in education or something. She doesn't seem to ever be aware of any of it. She just goes, what are you going to do? what are you going to do? It can gerrymander if we want. They really hate the Senate. They hate anything they can't control, and they seek to destroy anything they don't control. And that's you, too, by the way. They'll come after you. They're already trying to damage and chip away at our rights. And if we resist, they'll try to destroy us, too. Because that's how progressives roll. Just look at the last century. You don't pile up 100 million dead in the name of progress by making actual progress. You get it through ego-tripping, power-tripping lunatics who are convinced they know what's best for everybody else and will not tolerate a refusal to accept that leadership. Finally today, Greta Thunbergler, little Greta Thunberg, or however you pronounce it, the Children of the Corn from Sweden. She has been traveling the world on somebody else's dime, probably making quite a nice little living for herself and her left-wing lunatic parents. Well, at 17 years old now, she's finally going to get what the world wasn't waiting for. According to the Hill newspaper, the BBC will produce a series about 17-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg, the studio's science unit announced Monday at its BBC Showcase trade show. Yes, a 17-year-old who hasn't done anything is going to, it's like Barack Obama. He wrote two autobiographies before he'd done anything and was celebrated for both of them. Why? Nobody knows, but he's now working feverishly on his third. He'll get paid $50 million, $60 million, actually about $30 million. Michelle got the other 30, although I think he probably got 40 and she got 20. Quote, the series will follow Greta's international crusade, which takes her to the front line of climate change in some of the most extraordinary places on Earth, as she explores what actions could be taken to limit climate change and the damage it causes. End quote, the BBC said in a statement. As she travels, they continue, Greta meets not only with leading scientists, but political leaders and business heavyweights, exploring the scientific evidence with them and challenging them to change, it added. The film will also chart her own journey into adulthood as she continues to be confronted by the real-world consequences of inaction and will share some of the quiet moments as she writes the impactful speeches that are now broadcast and analyzed around the world as she lives a teenage life like no other. Yeah, she leads a teenage life like no other because she has Asperger's syndrome and her parents don't look at her as their child, they look at her as a cash cow. They look at her as their meal ticket. They look at her as a way to get famous themselves, to make a fortune themselves. And it's working out wonderfully for everybody except for little Greta. They're following this girl. What she's not doing and what she hasn't been doing for the past few years is getting an education. So realistically, what in the holy hell are these scientists going to talk to this uneducated girl about? She stopped attending school effectively when she was 15 years old. How much of a conversation, how informed of a conversation could you have as a scientist with a 15-year-old who stopped getting educated? Who has Asperger's on top of it? How fascinating and interesting and introspective and thought-provoking would that conversation be, you think? Now, maybe she sits down and reads the latest studies, but that doesn't mean she understands it. Anybody who speaks the language that the papers are written in can read them. Understanding their implications is something completely different. But she's a left-winger. She's spouting all the right talking points. The BBC will likely pay her a hefty sum of 7, maybe even 8 figures. The American distribution rights will start a bidding war that will put more money in her parents' coffers. And this girl will continue on the world stage to be robbed in broad daylight of any semblance of her childhood. This is the progressive left, ladies and gentlemen. They exploit her. Now, what will be funny is if when she's 22 and distraught, looking back upon her childhood, thinking it was stolen from me, and looking at her future, recognizing that it was lied about to her, and she was manipulated and used by these left-wing activists, they will turn on her, they'll more likely ignore her. But if she ever becomes a nuisance, they will turn on her just as they've turned on so many others, any others who dare challenge the liberal orthodoxy, because the left are evil people, not gonna stab you literally and murder you evil. They're worse than that. At least there's an honesty in a direct frontal assault. What they're doing here is a manipulative kind of evil. There's a special place in hell for these people, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening and spreading the word and sharing and telling a friend. We'll have the results from New Hampshire, more than likely, on tomorrow's show. Hopefully they can count better than Iowa can. Hopefully they can count quickly, and we can report them to you on the show on Wednesday. Make sure you're here for that. Have a great Tuesday. See you tomorrow.
Is gerrymandering something that would help improve the situation?